Everyone faces challenges, but it's how we deal with them that really matters. I'm Camille Bauer, and I'm going to help you see that life can go from bad to worse. But if you have faith and trust in the Lord and put on your big girl pants, then those hard times will help strengthen your faith, refine your character, and make you who you were destined to be. Hey everybody, this week I wanted to talk about letting go of guilt, letting go of shame, letting go of feeling like, man, I don't like myself because of these things. I'm not good enough. Because of what I've done, I can't move forward. Because of what I've done, I need to punish myself and I get what I deserve. Have any of those thoughts gone through your head before? I know my experience with guilt and shame and repentance over the course of my career has been a lot. And I am a stewer. Like, I think about stuff and it mulls over in my mind and I go over it and over it and over it again. Sometimes obsessively so, and not in a good way. Especially since I have a hard time sleeping at night sometimes, you know, I just stay awake and think about what bothers me or think about my feelings and why I'm feeling that way. Well, rewind to a high school Camille, and I just getting ready to graduate. I was walking in to the bishop's office, which is like a preacher, and I was deathly afraid of going in there, right? Because I was making some choices with my boyfriend and not doing the greatest of things. But I had attended this like seminary / religion class, and this was just a standard interview that you got before the end of the year, because you go through these religion classes like 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th, and 12th, and then you can graduate. Well, I had absolutely loved it. Gone through all of the years and definitely wanted to graduate. So of course I was going to attend this interview. And of course, at that time in my life, I just buried my bad decisions and just ignored them and felt like crap and felt like, you know what, I'm already making bad decisions. I might as well just deal with it because I can't move forward and I can't change, and because I'm a bad person because of what I've done. And I didn't really understand fully the concept of repentance and how much God really does love us. So in this interview, I shared obviously the choices I was making, and instead of the spontaneous combustion that I thought would occur within myself, from what I've perceived that meeting or me sharing those details would have exhibited in my body. Instead, I walked out and it was just like this huge weight, this huge relief and peace that I felt. And then no lie, a month later, I had, maybe I was lying. Maybe it was like 3 months later, but I had graduated high school, met Clint, and fell madly in love with this delicious man. And I knew I wanted to be with him. I knew I wanted to marry him. And he, unlike any other man that I have been around, just completely made me feel so respected, so loved, so beautiful, so special. And almost to the point where I didn't feel worthy to receive that. I didn't think I was good enough to warrant that praise, that love, that affection. And Clint was the person that made me want to be better. Clint made me want to rise up and be the person that he thought I was. And that is, on a side note, I'm going to do another podcast, is a sign of an amazing start to a good relationship. Relationships should encourage you to want to be the best version of yourself, not by shame, not by criticism, not by ridicule, but by love, acceptance, and belief in the other. And that's what Clint offered me. And I remember feeling that and wanting to push it away because I felt like I didn't deserve it. Like, he deserved better. And I was sitting out front of his house one day, and I remember we're in the car, and I just looked at him, and it was, I knew we had both fell hook, line, and sinker, and it was, things are getting pretty serious, and I was wanting to push it away, and my eyes filled with tears, and I just looked at him, and I just said, Clint, you deserve better, and he looked at me, and he said, hey, it doesn't matter whatever you've done in your life. Whatever you've done is between you and God. That has nothing to do with me. And you're an incredible, amazing, I love you and I want to be with you. And I accept you for who you are, how you are, and what you've gone through has made you who you are. And I just remembered feeling so much love and comfort and safety. And I was able to let go of the shame of what I had done and really try to embrace, oh, I am good. I am worthy. I am moving forward. I need to forgive myself. And it was hard for me to do that because we all have heard that God will forgive us of our sins, but we need to forgive ourselves and not stew about it and not think about it and not let it control our worth. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And how many times, especially as a mom, where you see something spilled on something that's white, and you're just like, shoot me now. This is going to be an uphill battle of some serious stain soaking, and I think it's probably going to be ruined. And to sit there and think of that image of scarlet, that deep, dark blood color that it's going to turn to white as snow, it's such a beautiful imagery of the Savior and his invitation that, hey, no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven. And we need to learn to forgive ourselves. And it's really important to separate the two. So let's talk about first the two different words, guilt versus shame. Guilt to me is good in lots of ways because it helps us navigate our moral compass. When we feel guilty for something, we need to check and see, okay, why am I feeling guilty? It can be a blessing. It can help you be able to change and be malleable into the person that you want to be. But shame takes away your worth. Shame makes you feel like crap. And I really love Brené Brown. And obviously, if anybody listens to her, you know that shame, she is a researcher for shame. And I just wanted to give you guys her definition. So she says, I believe that there is a profound difference between shame and guilt. I believe that guilt is adaptive and helpful. It's holding something we've done or failed to do up against our values and feeling psychological discomfort. She then goes on to say, I define shame as the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. Something we've experienced, done, or failed to do makes us unworthy of connection. I don't believe shame is helpful or productive. In fact, I think shame is much more likely to be the source of destruction, hurtful behavior, than a solution or cure. And that's the end of her quote. I loved that. It completely resonated that guilt can be healthy. It can be good. It can help steer you and your choices or previous choices you've made into a different direction. But that feeling of being unworthy, undeserving, that's not true. That is not right. God loves us so much. And little sweet Wyatt, who was 9, which on my Insta story, I said 10. I don't know why I temporarily lost my mind. But I'm blaming it on the fact I had 2 kids' birthdays that week. So in my mind, I guess everybody's age was changing one year. But sweet little Wyatt is this spunky, amazing little 9-year-old that I have, okay? And I get a call from my sister-in-law, and he has a cousin that is his very best friend, and they are thicker than thieves, 2 peas in a pod, and in the same grade, and just a couple months apart. And I get a call from my sister-in-law saying that my nephew is saying some bad words. And she went on to question him and find out that Wyatt was saying some bad words too. So I was got off the phone. P.S. Those conversations suck, right? Getting those as a mom, like, oh, hey, I'm just calling to let you know. Your kid is a bad influence. And anyway, he came up to my room and I, you know, hey, Wyatt, what's going on? Tell me, have you been saying some bad words? And I just kind of let him sit with it. And he's like, well, one day this bee flew by my ear and I was like, S word, and swatted it away. And I was like, okay, okay. And actually the phrase that I was informed was being said was mother effer, okay? And so as I'm sitting here listening to Wyatt, like, purge his swearing habits and tell me about it. You know, he didn't, of course, bring up the mother effer word. And I said, okay, well, I've also heard you've been saying something close to mother effer, you know? And he's like, I haven't been saying that. I've been saying it, I've been saying something different. And I'm like, okay, well, what have you been saying? And he's looked at me and he's like, motherfucker, you know? And I'm just sitting there with my eyes like three times big and my mouth open. And I'm just like, dude, that is the exact same thing, except you're saying the F word, the F of the word faster, you know? And he just looked at me with these big eyes like, oh crap, I'm totally busted. And I looked at him and I'm just like, dude, you're better than this. I believe in you. You need to change your potty mouth and rise up and be better. And I told my kids, dude, when you're an adult and you're, especially my boys, when you're back and you're home from your missions, and you're in college, you guys can say whatever you want. And Gunner one day was like, Mom, I'm going to know how to swear so good when I get home from my mission. And I was like, sweet. But right now, they're not allowed to swear. And so I sat there and chatted with Wyatt. And side note, he just got made the vice president of his class. He just got voted that. So he's been on this, I'm a leader. And I was just like, hey, it's important, especially as a leader. You need to really watch the words that you say. And the example that you are. And it definitely did click for him. And I just said, the awesome thing is, because then you could just see him starting to feel shame, right? And starting to feel that he wasn't good enough. And I just looked at him and held his sweet little face. And I just said, you know what? God has a big magic eraser. And when we repent and when we go to him and say, hey, I'm trying to be better, please forgive me, he takes that big magic eraser and he erases what we have done. And it's not there anymore. Like, we're forgiven. And what we need to do is just thank our Savior and move forward and be our best. Does he know we're going to be perfect? No, because we can't be, buddy. And you could just see, like, the imagery of God and his big magic eraser really helped satiate his desire to feel good enough. And I had done an Instagram story that day on this little experience. And I got a comment that night and it just completely floored me. And I wanted to share that with you guys because you never know what good you do. You never ever know what your example will do for others. And that's what keeps and propels me in my life and in my career to do what I do on the daily. Like, I think widows and those who are grieving and sad are up in the middle of the night. And almost every morning I get up and I have comments on my YouTube videos of these people that have been up in the night that are so grateful for me sharing and, you know, giving my life experience that have helped theirs. And that to me propels me in my career. When I see those comments, when I know that I'm making a difference, it fuels the fire of my purpose. And after I shared that repentance story with Wyatt on my IG story, Instagram, if you don't follow me, I'm at Camille Bauer on Instagram. But I got this message, okay? And it said, this is a private DM on Insta. And it said, hi, this feels so weird and random, but it's on my heart to send you a message. And then she goes on to say that she had known Clint previously when she was a young girl. And she says, I'm pretty sure I hated you because you stole my future husband. I had a super crush on Clint, and even my 11-year-old heart was crushed the day you were married. Actually, it's still a little broken. Anyways, she goes on to say, I'm rambling in word form, but I just felt it. I just felt the strong push that I needed to thank you. I did not follow a particularly good path when I was a teenager, and I ended up leaving the church. I think I can count on two hands how many times I've set foot in a church in the past 14 years. I just thought there was no going back from the mistakes I've made. Your Instagram story tonight really touched something in my heart, and I sat on my bathroom floor and sobbed and prayed and felt loved for the first time since I was 14. I followed the Cancer Warrior page and almost everything since the beginning of his battle, and I still remember crying the night he passed away. I guess I wanted to thank you. Whenever I see your posts, I think of how blessed I am. And I just sat there and just cried when I read that. And I couldn't believe just my, I don't know, I've incorporated the Savior into my daily life because he's in my heart, because I love him and I try to talk about him, rejoice in him, and share my testimony of him and all that I do. And to me, this wasn't a big, serious, like, okay, let's talk about repentance, everybody. It was just in passing about God and his big eraser and Wyatt and his story. But to know that my words helped her feel God's love made everything that I have gone through worth it, made everything that I have, all the heartache and turmoil, it made it worth it to me that she was able to feel God's love through something that I said. And I just felt so humbled and honored to be able to help her in her journey to feel God's love. I'm forever changed from the experiences I've had, and I don't want to just stuff those in the back and pretend I'm this person that is normal like everybody else and hasn't, which nobody's normal, by the way. Nobody's like everybody else. Everybody's one of a kind. But to just stuff those experiences in my past and not move forward without sharing them, because I know time and time again from reading comments that what we say and what we do affects others. And it just completely touched my heart and puffed up my belief and purpose and lit my fire of why I do what I do and how completely grateful I am that someone was able to feel God's love because of a comment about God and his magic eraser. P.S. I love the magic eraser. Have you used that in your kitchen before? And on your baseboards? Side note. Anyway, those are the bomb. And then, so cute, I just said, wrote her back, and then I said, P.S., I don't blame you for having a crush on Clint, because he's so cute. Anyway, I just completely was blown away, and how many years she had suffered in feeling that guilt and that shame and unworthy of God's love, and none of us should have to live like that. And as I have marinated and stewed over that, like I'm good at, it just led me to this topic that I wanted to share this week, is that we shouldn't feel that shame. We should never feel like we're unworthy of God's love. And an apostle of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints named Dieter F. Uchtdorf shared some really awesome words about the love of God. And he said, though we are incomplete, God loves us completely. Though we are imperfect, he loves us perfectly. Though we may feel lost and without a compass, God's love encompasses us completely. He loves us because he is filled with an infinite measure of holy, pure, and indescribable love. We are important to God, not because of our resume, but because we are his children. He loves every one of us, even those who are flawed, rejected, awkward, sorrowful, or broken. Don't ever let anybody, including yourself, tell you that you're not worthy to feel God's love. No matter what choice you have ever made or will make, won't change how much God loves you. And especially as moms, we so perfectly practice unconditional love when we have children. no matter what our kids, and I try to tell my kids this all the time, no matter what choice you ever make or what path you ever go on, will never change how much I love you. And now as moms, let's turn that to ourselves and think of the relationship our Heavenly Father has with us as daughters of our Heavenly Father and His children. He loves us perfectly, no matter what we do. And when we make those wrong choices, it pulls us away from feeling His love. But He's always there waiting to share His love and to share His light. So those small little baby steps we make back towards Him, we're going to be able to feel His love. And like that sweet comment where she got on her knees and felt God's love for her for the first time and since she was 14 years old, you know, that's powerful. And He's waiting for you to come to Him. He's waiting to have you feel His love anytime you want it. You are deserving of it because you're alive and you are His. Mother Teresa said, when you know how much God is in love with you, then you can only live your life radiating that love. Have you felt God's love for you lately? I would challenge you this week, be easy on yourself. If you're holding shame, if you're holding the unworthy thoughts, if you're holding you're not good enough, let it go and look in the mirror and know that you are good enough because you are God's. Not because of the choices you make, not because of choices you have made, not because of how amazing you look or how clean your house is. You're good just the way you are because you're God's. And when we know that, it's powerful. It brings a peace and a comfort to our hearts. So this week, quit beating yourself up. You can't be perfect. Nobody's perfect. And if you've made some mistakes, repent. Get on your knees and say, hey, I'm so sorry. Please help me. Please help me move forward and forgive me. And He will take His magic eraser, just like He did for Wyatt and just like He does for me on the daily, and erase those mistakes, and they're gone. And you can move forward without that shame and to know that you're good enough. You are worthy of love in all relationships that you have in your life, especially in the relationship with yourself. And remember that this week. Quit beating yourself up and love yourself, because I love you, God loves you, and you are worthy of that love.